Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Rooted and Established in Christ. Chapter 4. The actions or practices that lead a Christian to become rooted and grounded in Christ. In a significant part of cases, and according to the mentality of the natural man, when the subject of rooting or edifying something is approached, it is prevalent to think in establishing something in a static or materially stable place. When, however, life is observed from the perspective of the kingdom of God, it can be noted that the kingdom of the Lord does not consist of materially established things, but of eternally unshakable things. The whole kingdom of God is grounded in that which cannot be shaken, as discussed more broadly in the subject on the gospel of the kingdom of God and according to some texts we recall below. Hebrews 12:26-29. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense, I shall not be moved. Psalms 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Acts 2:25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. God calls his children to take root, foundation, and to be edified in Christ, for in Christ, neither the Christian oneself nor what one builds in the Lord are shakable. God wants the Christian to live and walk in Christ because, in the Lord, the benefits of salvation and newness of life are rooted in the rock and the refuge that are eternally unshakable. In the themes of the New Creation in Christ series, it has also been emphasized, by the respective scriptures, that there is no force or person in the world that can turn a Christian away from the love that is in Christ, unless the Christian oneself permits this to occur by neglecting the being in Christ, which, in turn, as highlighted in the previous chapter, also encompasses taking root or to be grounded in the Lord while it is the appropriate time to do so. In one's resemblance to the trees or branches of a vine, though not exactly like them, and although Christ himself and the Lord's provision for Christians can never be shaken, the choices a Christian makes in one's life also end up defining whether he or she comes or does not come to be rooted in Christ or whether one abides or does not remain in the true vine. In the theme Watchful in Prayer, it has been highlighted the vital condition of perseverance in living in Christ so that the Christian may remain in a sober state of life in the Lord, as well as in the material entitled Work Out Your Salvation. It has been addressed the possibility that a Christian has to always grow in this living in Christ. Here, however, we would like to stress that every Christian is equally called to take root and be grounded in Christ so that one may be firmly established in the Lord in the face of a world hostile to God and the will of the Lord, so that each Christian, individually, does not come to be shaken by the instability or inconstancy that is manifested daily in the present world. Therefore, to become rooted or grounded in Christ, as well as watching in prayer, refer to actions in which the active participation of the Christian is necessary. Even though God helps, in everything, those who choose the way of becoming firmly established in the Lord, there are aspects in this option that also depend on each person's cooperation. Although in Christ is the firm and unshakable foundation of the Christian's life, the decision to remain or not in Christ is also associated with the Christian performing acts that demonstrate his or her renewed choice for the newness of life in the Lord. It is the Lord who gives the newness of life to everyone who is in him, but it is each person who chooses whether to live and walk, or not, in the Lord. And to mention a first active action whereby a Christian can cooperate with the permanence in one's choice for the unshakable life in the Lord and His kingdom, we recall the last text of the book of Hebrews mentioned above, in which we are taught that a practical way for a Christian to remain steadfast in the unshakable kingdom of God is a person to retain in one's life the grace of God granted to him or her. Just as a Christian received Christ, so he or she is also called to walk in Christ. That is, just as the Christian received salvation as the result of God's grace and righteousness, so a Christian is also called to walk in God's grace, knowing that it is not by one's own power, by the deeds of the flesh, or by the deeds of the law that a Christian comes to be established or rooted in Christ. Although a Christian is called to contribute to one's own establishment in Christ, and even though this Christian might be very fruitful in the Lord, it, ultimately, is still not the very works of a Christian that sustain him or her unshakable. Even if a Christian is called to participate in getting rooted or grounded in the Lord, the only one who effectively sustains a Christian steadfast is God because of His love, mercy, and grace toward this Christian. As much fruit as a branch may have produced or is still producing, thus demonstrating its cooperation with the life that the vine gives it, it is not the fruits that sustain the branch, but the vine to which the branch is attached. That is why the need for holding on the grace, by which access the reconciliation and fellowship with God are granted, is also so indispensable. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Romans 11:18b. Remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And considering the mention made once again above about the branch and the vine, we may also see in this example a second active action that a Christian is called to do and which is directly related to a person becoming settled or established in the Lord. One part of the scriptures that have been mentioned in most of the themes of the systemic teaching about Christian life is the text about the true vine and the branches, which, therefore, we would like to recall below once again. John 15:4-6. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Although this text has been approached several times in other subjects referenced above, it seems to us that there is an intriguing aspect that has not yet been addressed in the mentioned themes. By repeatedly looking at this last text in reference, it may seem to some that there is a vacuum in the situation narrated in it. In the above narrative, one can first see a promise from the Lord that whoever abides in him will also have Christ abiding in him or her, and thus, one will bear much fruit. It is a statement or assurance from the Lord that it will be so. Secondly, it is possible to observe that the Lord also makes a promise that the one who does not abide in Christ, like a fruitless branch, will be cut off and cast out. The intriguing aspect of the text in reference, however, concerns the following questions. How, then, can someone not stay and need to be cut off? If someone yet needs to be cut off, is he or she still not connected to the vine? And if a person is still connected, does he or she still not abiding in the vine? Is it possible, then, for a person to come to Christ, connect with Him, and yet not be in Him? Although figuratively, the text of John 15 states that it is possible, indeed, for a branch to be associated with the vine but no longer remaining in it, which is why it can be so crucial for a person to know how this might happen, to not incur this condition or to repent from it if one already is in it. The Lord Jesus would not admonish people about a potential risk if the possibility of such a risk occurring in practical life were also not real, for the Lord is the truth, and, as such, everything He says is also the truth. Thus, we understand that an aspect of high relevance to note as to remaining in Christ refers to the point that while a branch in the natural world can automatically receive the life of the vine in which it is, not choosing consciously to accept it or reject it, this may be significantly different in the case of a Christian in Christ, for the Christian is similar to a branch, but one is also more than a branch. A Christian is a person empowered with will and decision. In many situations concerning a natural branch, the transfer of life from the vine to the branch occurs automatically when both the vine and the branch are still alive or healthy. In the case of the Christian in Christ, however, the true vine may be continually releasing life, but the branch's nourishment of this life is also conditional upon the branch itself agreeing to accept the life offered to it. Similarly, it also occurs with the seed of God's word that the sower Jesus Christ sows into people's hearts, where some people receive it appropriately and see the good fruits coming from it, but where there are also people who reject it in many ways, despite that the seed of God is always bestowed as a perfect seed. A point addressed in the theme Work Out Your Salvation, more specifically in the chapter Take Heed How You Hear. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to strengthen and instruct those who come to Him, but the effective action of His strengthening and instruction in those who come to Him is also associated with the acceptance of the work that those who come to Christ allow the Lord to perform in their lives. Regarding the Christian life, it is possible, therefore, for a branch or a Christian to be linked to Christ, but at the same time not allowing Christ to feed him or her indeed or to work freely in one's life. And if Christ is not nourishing a Christian or kept active in the branch, even if in some way the branch is connected to the vine, still considered a Christian, or regarded as a child of God, this branch is no longer actually remaining in the vine. And when a branch that is still attached to the vine does not actually remain in the vine because it actively or passively rejects what the vine offers, that branch ceases to strengthen its relationship or connection with the vine, or in other words, it does not become rooted or grounded in Christ, making one's position in the Lord vulnerable. Although the entire provision for the Christian life is granted to a Christian from God through Christ, the receiving of this life depends, in a very decisive way, more on a Christian's willingness to receive it than the Lord's willingness to give it, for God has already shown that He is willing to grant it abundantly through His love and grace to all who receive Christ into their hearts. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The phrase "once saved, always saved," or "saved forever," used by some people, although not found explicitly in this way in the Scriptures, may even correctly express a characteristic of God's eternal salvation. This aspect, however, only applies if the statement is also referring to those who also remain in the heavenly salvation and the Lord of the salvation, or those who abide in the true vine without continually rejecting the life that comes from it. The fact that an individual has been connected to the true vine at a given time but does not continue to receive life from this connection, exposes this individual to a high risk of losing the life that has already been granted to him or her, and does not guarantee that the popular said "once saved, always saved" continues to apply to this person, as many people mistakenly, and contrary to the teaching of Christ, seek emphatically to affirm. One peculiar, beautiful, and essential aspects of life, both concerning the natural life and the spiritual life to be lived in Christ, is that life is dynamic, but also that the sustenance and nourishment of this life must be active to supply it in its constant dynamic. And where a life receiver stops receiving the life supply or nutrition, there also the life of this recipient begins to decline and is put at risk of coming to its end. Although Christ can and wants to grant unshakable, endless, uninterrupted, and entirely sufficient heavenly life for all people for them to be able to live and walk in Him, if an individual deprives oneself of receiving the life of Christ, whether by abstaining from the Lord or by not accepting what the Lord wants to give through His heavenly grace, one puts oneself in a position where the branch ceases to receive what is actually necessary to obtain from the Lord to be sustained in Him. Still continuing to make a comparison of Christians to the branches of the vine, there are some branches that only want to receive from the vine what they themselves wish to receive, and not all that the vine wants to give them or what is indeed necessary to them. If these branches, however, persist in their yearning to be in Christ but without being willing to receive what Christ wants to give them, they may also, through this attitude, become subject to a higher risk of becoming disconnected in a more aggravated way from the connection with the vine, for although some branches claim to want to remain in the vine, they do not really want the true nutrient and working of the vine in them and through them. And similarly to the figure of a branch of the vine, it also occurs regarding walking in Christ being at the same time rooted and built up in Christ. There are people who, in some parts, want to walk in Christ, but only in the aspects which they think that are comfortable to them or their own interests. There are people who want to be in Christ to obtain the protection and blessings of God, but who do not really want to walk in Christ's will for their lives, thus putting themselves in a position of incoherence, for how may a person aspire to be in Christ if one, at the same time, wants to choose to be in ways the Lord does not walk or will not accompany him or her. Still regarding the comparison of a Christian with the branch of the vine, we would like to point out that Christ does not even require a branch that remains in him to be strong in itself, for the Lord provides the strengthening of the branch if it only actually remains in Christ. The Lord Jesus wants to share God's newness of life with everyone, but on the other hand, the Lord Jesus also is committed to the Heavenly Father to fulfill the promises that the Father and also He prophesied about the peoples. The Lord Jesus Christ, for example, prophesied that His gospel would be preached to all nations and peoples coming so the end, and the Lord Jesus will take care to fulfill His word. In this way, if Christians are attentive and move as Christ moves, they will also participate in the Lord's work. If, however, a Christian does not do it, choosing instead to walk in ways that are contrary to God's purposes, the Lord will not wait indefinitely for this person to repent. The Lord Jesus, in due time, advances in what God has previously announced and concerning which Christ is commissioned to fulfill. Walking in Christ or walking in the Spirit is related to the individual practical actions that a person performs under the dependency of the Lord in one's daily life on earth, but it is also associated with being in Christ walking in the seasons, compasses, and deeds that the Lord is revealing or performing in the present world. And the aspect addressed in these last paragraphs also leads us to a third active action which a Christian is called to practice and which is also directly related to the aspect of being rooted or grounded in the Lord in order not to be in a weak position before a world hostile to the Heavenly Father's will. This third active action to be adopted by a Christian, in turn, refers to the matter of a Christian also practicing what the Lord instructs him or her to do. A Christian becoming a doer of the instruction of Christ, not just a listener, is another action regarding which the Lord Jesus has made a direct and clear correlation for a Christian to work in cooperation for oneself to be rooted or grounded in the Lord or for one's living and walking in Him. Although part of living and walking in Christ includes listening to the Lord's instruction to know the way in which to walk and to understand the actions to do, listening without actually practicing what has been heard may become a similar position of being on the vine but not actually receiving what the vine gives. A Christian to live and walk according to the Heavenly Father's will, making the Christian, also in this respect, not firmly rooted or grounded in the Lord. A person may need understanding, strength, and the strengthening of one's willingness to accomplish something, and these characteristics are achieved in what has been called by the Scriptures as living in Christ. However, the granting of these characteristics also aims that what has been received may result in useful actions of this person. Thus, performing practical acts according to the Lord's instruction and in the Lord's strength is also part of the life process that Christ extends to those who abide in Him, occurring the rooting and grounding of a Christian in the Lord also through these practical actions. Also concerning this third aspect in reference, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, when He was in the flesh in the world, once more exemplified the fundamental importance of a Christian being rooted or grounded in Him, as well as He mentioned the manner in which a Christian can do so, namely Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Luke 6:47-49. Whoever comes to me, and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. According to the last text referenced above, digging deep into the rock, digging deep ditches for the foundations, and laying the foundations in these ditches on the rock are the acts to be done for someone to become grounded or rooted in Christ. Acts that are instructed to be accomplished so that what a person builds upon the eternal foundation also remains in the face of a variety of oppositions that may come toward people in the world. Nevertheless, and despite the above example is intended for people to notice their lives as buildings that need a firm foundation, the most prominent emphasis on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ is more focused on a person, in due time, do the appropriate actions for the building to be firmly grounded, which, in turn, are very clear, namely, to hear the words of Christ, but also to do the words heard from the Lord. An individual who does not even hear the Lord's instructions is, of course, also deprived of building on God and in consonance with His will. However, in the example of the last text presented above, the Lord Jesus Christ is not considering those who do not hear His words, but those who hear and do them, as well as those who hear but do not do what is said to them. Therefore, among the very hearers of the words of the Lord, there are two distinct types of people who are distinguished by the behaviors they adopt toward the instructions they have heard from Christ, where a group of people, by their attitudes, works to be rooted or grounded in Christ, while the other, although also being composed of hearers, does not accomplish it. The two types of people mentioned by Christ in the example cited above refer, both, to persons active in deeds, not being passive regarding work. People of the second group, however, build in their own manner, according to their own will, or not according to the will of God instructed to them. They listen to the words of Christ, but at the time of putting the instruction into practice, they do not do as the Lord instructed them to do. In other words, People of the second type in reference put themselves in positions that are conflicting with each other and do not allow the proper foundations or roots to be created and established, for concerning listening, they seek to expose themselves to the Lord's words, but as for practicing, they do not remain in Christ, continually interrupting their abiding in Christ and their taking root or grounding in the Lord. We may observe here, then, that grounding or establishing oneself in the Lord, or allowing oneself to be established by the Lord in the Lord, is not a call for inconstancy in the fellowship with Christ or for a mere theoretical contemplation of the words which the Lord instructs. Glory to God that His promises are not mere words thrown to the wind, and glory to God that they are not merely theoretical. Job 42, 2. I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. A person's act of accomplishing what Christ instructs him or her to do, however simple and basic the instruction and action to be practiced might be, is not merely the expression of an isolated or insignificant act, for through all the actions by which a person does the instruction of the Lord, one is also cooperating with being rooted and grounded in the Lord. In other words, when an individual indeed practices what the Lord instructs him or her to do, this person, in addition to being walking in the light for the good of one's life, is also taking root in Christ through repeatedly trusting in the Lord in what one does. Practicing or performing God's instruction distinguishes the wise and prudent person from the foolish man, for the scriptures state that not trusting God to the point of not practicing what He instructs to do, even if one is dedicated to hearing the words of the Lord, is an expression of foolishness and lack of prudence. By the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ presents the picture of a house as an example, it is possible that some people may think of building material things, but the house is just a symbology. What is really at issue in the example mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ is the strengthening of one's life in the Lord and the building up of one's life in Christ. The buildings that a person carries out may encompass a variety of works one does in life, but the central point of the example in reference presented by the Lord Jesus is still the building that was accomplished in the builder's own life, where Christ is the only everlasting foundation on which an individual can root one's life eternally. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. Ephesians 2, 21. In whom, in Christ Jesus, the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Psalms 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Specifically concerning walking in Christ, there are many actions that a Christian can do in a growing manner and as Christ guides him or her to do them. There are instructions from the Lord that are for all Christians in general, and there are instructions that the Lord gives individually and specifically to those who come to Him. However, what we would like to emphasize at the end of this chapter is that the Lord's instructions are not mere deeds to be done for the Lord, but they also work primarily for a Christian to establish one's life firmly and increasingly on the eternal foundation on which one is called to build. The one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and abides in Him, also has the promise to be taught by the Lord in all that one needs the instruction of God. However, when one is taught by the Lord, one is also called to practice the teaching one receives from God to be more and more rooted and established in Christ so that one as well may abide and grow firmly and continually in the Lord. James 1, 22-25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 2:5-6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Ephesians 3:17-19. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.